What up, though? It's your boy CB. That's Chill B, and this is the Chill, a Bravado podcast where we cover the Lakers and the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. We are right around the corner from heading into the All-Star break. The Lakers desperately need the All-Star break. Well, we're going to break down how we got in the buyout market, Spencer Dinwiddie. We're going to talk about D-Lo, and how he's been playing as of late, and can he continue this? We're going to talk about the Nuggets game, kind of the same old usual suspect. And we'll talk about the Pelicans game. And then we'll, you know, discuss Rui in the starting lineup, talk about the injuries and how they'll be looking as the season go on. We'll talk about the energy guys like Jackson Hayes and how he may have played himself back into healthy minutes with his play. We'll also get into the back-to-back we have with the Pistons coming today on February 13th. And then we'll have... No, the Pistons tomorrow. My goodness, I'm all over the place. You have the Pistons on Tuesday, February 13th. And then on February 14th, you have Utah. So we'll be having a back-to-back right before we head off into the All-Star break. I need an All-Star break too, man. You see how fast I'm trying to get to it? But we're going to get to all that and a little bit more next.
All right, let's get right into it. The Lakers came up to be a dud at the trade deadline, but the buyout market heated up. And guess what? When you leave an open roster spot, that gives you the ability to go and sign anybody who can help you in some capacity move forward, even though you didn't get what you wanted in the trade talks. And as Laker fans and as the NBA fans, it was disappointing. I think people were expecting DeJounte Murray to be moved and all these guys to, you know, change teams. And we was waiting for the big announcement like in the past. But I was telling JR, the All Things Sports podcast, that like, look, we've had those moves already. James Harden's been moved. OG's been moved. You know, all these guys have already had, you know, the movements. You know, Bradley Beal had already been traded to the Suns. Like, the big market guys are already, you know, in their new homes, new locations, right? So I wasn't expecting anything to happen. The DeJounte Murray thing just felt like a lot of smoke as it got closer and closer toward the end, because all the reports were saying that they wanted AR. They didn't want D'Lo. Get a 13 and get D'Lo. The reports were also coming out in several sources that nobody wanted to take on D'Lo. He doesn't fit here. And also, it's this thing called the Laker tax. The Laker tax is something where, of course, teams know that the Lakers are sitting in this position they are, sitting in ninth place right now, 28 wins, 26 losses. So the Lakers don't have the leverage. Now, if the Lakers were sitting pretty in like the third or the fourth spot, they can talk to teams and be like, hey, look, you made this trade and now we're good. But they know they're not good. So you're trying to get as much as you can out of these Lakers. So plus, a lot of teams is not trying to help them get that 18th banner, you know, so it makes sense. Like, that's why it's called the Laker tax. And you've seen these other guys going for 3 seconds and you're seeing these moves made where old buddy from Detroit, Bogdanović, was like, oh, we want a first round pick for him. And last year it was like 2 first round picks. You're not getting that. And they knew that. So what happened at the end, they swapped them with players and them like 2 seconds, and there you go. They're not giving that opportunity to the Lakers because nobody is trying to help them move forward. You know, this is the Laker brand. It's LeBron. Yeah. It depends on relationships. Now, they do have relationships with certain teams. They've made trades with Orlando before. They've made trades with the Washington Wizards before. So, you know, it is some teams that we have good rapport with. And all the trade machine stuff is popping, but you are taking out the personalities of the GMs, the players, the teams. And you can't do that. It's not 2K. It's like, I should put that on the shirt. It's not 2K. It's not Madden, you know? So everything's not going to go their way. So saying all that to say this, we get Spencer Dinwiddie in the buyout market. Probably the best player available. It was tossed that the Mavericks had a chance to get him. That's another place it was going. And then when we see him spotted watching the Mavs play, and I'm not going to lie to you, when I seen that, I said, oh, man, we're not getting him. We're not getting him, man. He's already posted up. But then when we were playing the other night and they shot the camera over at Rob Pelinka, who's sitting beside him? That's right. Spencer Dinwiddie. And I was like, okay, we have a shot, but I'm not getting my hopes up. We're going to wait. We're not going to sit here and try to pretend like this is like, yeah, we got him locked in for sure, for sure. But then I started to think about it. Gabe Vincent hurt. Probably the rumblings are that even if he comes back, it's like, do you know what he's going to be able to give you? It's unfortunate about Gabe. Even though, you know, guys were trying to move him at the deadline, like, get him out of here. Teams didn't view him as a positive asset with the injury. And plus, he has two more years after this year. So you never know. You know, we always went to the Kendrick Nunn thing. Let's just stay away from the Miami guards, Miami players, unless it's Bam. Let's stay away from the Miami players for a little while. And let's let them, you know, let them keep that heat culture over there. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, you got Gabe out. You got Cam out. Who, the updates, I'm going to go ahead and get to some of these updates and injuries that after the All-Star break, be prepared to hear about, you know, about Cam and Max Christie, you know. But going on to say, you got Cam out, you got Max Christie out, you got Gabe out. You're very thin at the guard position, and Spencer probably sees this and is like, you know, I'm a veteran, you know, 30 years old, right in his prime. He's definitely, he gives us a lot of things, and I was going to get into that later, but he gives us a lot of, you know, a lot of different things. Another ball handler. He shot creates for himself. He has the ability to work in the pick and roll with AD, and I can see him. And I'm just curious to see that his ability to get downhill is a whole lot more elite than D'Lo and Austin Reeves. So, you know, just looking at that alone, I'm thinking that, man, this could be that third guard that we really been hoping for. Ooh, I'm getting excited. But then I hear words that Darvin Ham has said that he's going to visit and look at the possibility of playing three guard lineups with Spencer, AR, and D'Lo. And that gives Laker fans a little case of, you know, PTSD and a little anxiety. And I'm here to prevent all that anxiety, because this is not the Patrick Beverley, Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook three guard lineup. That was the all the way down at the bottom. Okay, that was the worst. Okay, non-shooting little guards. Russ could hold his own, but he can't shoot. Pat couldn't shoot at the time. Dennis, you know, he wasn't hitting anything at the time. He was coming back from like a wrist or hand injury. And then you fast forward in the season, we get, you know, Austin, D'Lo, and Schroeder, and that worked for a little while, you know, until we ran into those guys, the champs, Denver, and that little guard lineup was non-existent. So I want to say this before I go to the break, is that, like, Darvin, let's not do this to ourselves. Let's not do this again. Let's not fall in love with it. I feel like this one has a better chance to be successful, but it's going to be offensive success, because defensively, out of those three, Spencer, AR, D'Lo, who's your point of attack defender? It's probably going to be Spencer. He's a better defender than those other two, but it's not really saying much. So when you start thinking about it and looking into it in that context, that lineup is something that you can deploy against smaller teams, a small ball lineups, and you can, you know, and they're going to have to guard you, because Spencer's actually like 6'5", 6'6". So he has the size. Like, Austin and D'Lo are both like 6'5", legit. Like, so those are not small guards, but D'Lo has the athleticism of a snail on steroids. You know, we gotta give him some respect. You know, I mean, he's a professional athlete, but we know that his NBA skill is not elite athleticism. So we can point that out. AR, I mean, he tries, but he's a hustle guy, but he still gotta get his weight up. He's not gonna be able to handle the power of guys going through his chest. And then Spencer, who we really don't know what type of defender he'll be with these guys. Maybe he's that guy who comes to a new team and he jumps up and now he's ready to go. So we'll see what Spencer has. We're going to have two games. We got the Detroit Pistons, and then we turn around and play against Utah, and then we head into a week off with the All-Star break. So this is good for us as Laker fans to get this taste in our mouth and see what Spencer is able to give us as a Laker here for these first two games before we go to the break and come back and play against those pesky Golden State Warriors. I'll be right back. All right, we are back, and I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in to the Chill Bravado Podcast, Lakers 82-16 series, and we appreciate all that you do. When you tune in, get your feedback, let me know how you feel about my takes and whatnot. Continue to do that. You know, go subscribe, Apple, all that good stuff. Podcast, wherever you listen, all platforms. Make sure you check out the All Things Sports Podcast, my boy JR, where he breaks down the world of sports. And he's got football ending, so I'm pretty sure he's going to give his Super Bowl, reaction. You know, anything heating up in the MLB. NBA is about to go to the forefront, baby. So make sure you guys tune in to all that. Let's get back to these Lakers. And let's talk a little bit about the, you know, we beat the Warriors in overtime. You know, we talked about that. You know, all right, we got the Rockets and the Hawks, we lost. And then we beat the Celtics and the Knicks and the Hornets. You know, the trade deadline came a deadline. And then we lost to the Nuggets. But then we beat the Pelicans. And now we're back happy again because now we have added Spencer. And now we just need the Lakers to let us land this roller coaster at home by taking care of business. First against the Detroit Pistons. Okay, let's take care of business against the Detroit Pistons. More on that in a minute. But let's kind of dial back. Let's go back. How did we get here? All right. Okay, we have a starting lineup change. Starting lineup change. Rui Hachimura goes into the starting lineup. Torian Prince, the Prince of Zimbabwe, you know, Ham's boy, you know, that guy has went and sat down, but he stayed productive off the bench. He's still productive. So look, Darvin, look, listen, take your hands out of your pockets and just look. I want you to like hold them over your eyes like you're looking in the distance. You know, you can see it right now. I'm looking, peeking, and I see the stats that Prince is putting up. How are you putting up identical stats even though you're not in the starting lineup? Because, A, it's not Prince's fault that he's getting played 30 minutes a game. If the coach tells you to go out there, baby, you got to go. But Ham has to recognize that when you have guys like Rui and Christian Wood and Jackson Hayes, it's just, and when Vando, if Vando comes back, which we pray he does, you don't have to have Prince out there so much and so often because he can be productive in 20 to 25 minutes just as well as 30. Because you can just tell, like, and I feel the same way about AR at times in the game. I've been like, bro, like, AR has played for like an 8-minute stretch, like, but we didn't have any guards to put in. So it was, and especially when Max went down the other night, you don't have Gabe, you don't. I just feel like we play him way too long, and then D'Lo has to come out there, and you know he knows, like, I'm probably not closing the game if I'm not playing well, so he goes on the heater. And talking about D'Lo, let's talk about D-Smoke. Let's talk about the flamethrower he is. This guy, what if this is his year to prove all the doubters and the haters wrong? And it's not necessarily hate all the time, because some of the stuff is true, but narrative is, some people have a narrative that they love to keep, and they're not going to say anything right now while he's playing well. But as soon as he goes, if he would have played against Denver the other night, we would have lost. People would have said, look, you can't show up in the big games, the big moments, blahzy, blahzy. Okay? So I do this on occasion as well. I don't get super excited about the games, you know, after, you know, during the game, I'm excited. But after it's over with, okay, dial back, let's get ready for the next one. But it's some people who won't give him any props during the good game. But as soon as he hits a drought or a slump, you know, here they come. And the keyboards work again. And now we're off to the races, calling this guy a bum. We should have traded him. Player option is terrible, blah, blah, blah. So I want to give him his flowers now because it's not guaranteed he's going to play this well later. And D'Lo has been on a heater, as I've heard people say. And with this starting lineup, with Rui, you know, in there, with LBJ and LeBron, AR and D'Lo, is not the most, you know, defensive sound, you know, starting five, but the offensive gives us a lot of promise. And Rui, if he can just continue to learn how to finish at the rim, man, maybe he just needs to dunk every time he goes to the rim. Because sometimes them layups just don't be layuping. You know what I'm saying? Him and LeBron have gotten to the rim so many times, and it just barely drops off the rim. Or Rui just goes in too hard, like he's the Hulk. And, you know, it just comes down to, like, okay, Rui is what he is. But he's a very effective player. And when you have a guy like D'Lo, and when they played against the Pelicans the other night, all the starters scored 20-plus, okay? 20 or more, I'll say, because AD had 20, okay? AD had 20. D'Lo had 30. AR had 27. Efficient. Rui had 21, which I didn't realize until after I thought about it. He really did have 21. And then LBJ had 21. So you know, this is the first time since 1984 that the Lakers have had all five starters score 20 or more, which is pretty impressive. So kudos to that. But what happened in that game against the Pelicans? The Pelicans let us score 51 points in the second quarter alone. Now, the Pelicans were shooting very well. They were shooting well, too. Like, it was definitely a game of offense. So are we going to come back down to earth a little bit against the Pistons? Because right now, the Pistons are shooting the seams off the ball. Ivy over there is going crazy. You got the big fella for the young boy in the middle. What's his name? Durant? He's a beast on the boards. That's going to give 80, you know, a little competition right now. Can't wait to see how we're going to handle that. They've won like 4 out of 5. I mean, they're 4-5 here recently. I think they won 4 games here. So they're not just anybody can come in town and smack them. They beat Sacramento, you know, almost beat the Clippers, you know. So we see this team coming up, and we can't take it for granted what we have coming up, all right? So I'm going to speak on them real quick, you know, and after the break. And then I'm going to talk about a little bit of the guys on our roster and what to look forward to as we head into this Pistons-Utah back-to-back. I'll be right back. Close this thing out. All right, so check this out. Anthony Davis, I think he has to be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think he's going to win it. There's not, if he hasn't won it by now, they're not going to give it to him. They're going to use the record against him, which I don't understand an individual award having so much influence by record. Unless it's like the MVP or something, I guess, you know, they use that. But when we're talking about individualism, Defensive Player of the Year, not Defensive Team of the Year, Anthony Davis, you can't tell me another player who's played better defense than Anthony Davis all season. Only missed 3 games. Amazing. Amazing. Knock on, you know, any wood and, you know, any hard head, you know. We want to keep that going. And then I hear the people chattering. This team has had LeBron and AD healthy from pretty much the whole year, and they're still sitting in the 9th seed, average team. Well, when you have role players who have taken their turn to be out right now, I mean, we're not even going to talk about the whole season, just right now. Gabe's out. Vando's out. Max Christie's out. See what I'm saying? That's a whole... Like, Gabe is your mid-level exception. That guy, and also him taking just a little bit less than the mid-level, gave us a little extra money to get a Spencer Dinwiddie, so that kind of was an incentive of him coming to L.A. He got to get that, you know, little extra. And it's funny that he put in this on, this is way off topic I was about to make, but it's funny he put in his contract, if the Lakers were to win the finals, that he would get a bonus of $1. It says like an inside joke with him or something, like his agent or some guy. So that's kind of funny. Spencer seems to have a good spirit. He was teammates with D-Lo with the Nets. He's also teammates with C. Wood. And he was actually a team, I think, with Rui in Washington. I'm sitting here thinking about this. Is that true? I think that's what I heard. I don't know. Don't quote me on it, but I definitely know him and D-Lo. We're tight, you know. So that's good that we have some camaraderie with him already. I'm pretty sure he's going to be throwing out there to go, you know, right in the flame into the fire, and getting back to the point I was making that, yeah, man, like AD's been balling. And his ability to read the double teams now, and people actually moving. And one thing that when Vando went down, it hurt me because he had like 3 straight games of scoring in double digits. So the games of scoring 4 and 6 and none, it was over for a while. He was scoring 12 and 17 and 14 and 11, you know. So that was great because, you know, his offensive game is very limited. But Vando, at his size and his ability to be such a pest on the defensive end, anticipation of passing lanes, his ability to help rebound, push the break at times, he's flicked it around the rim. His layup package had an upgrade because he started kind of dunking. He is the like most athletic guy with the softest dunk I've ever seen. Like he literally go, I don't know. It's just like he just goes up and he's like, He don't know. He's like, I just got to make sure I make it. He like he thinks too much, but he was getting very creative. He was getting to the free throw line, but it hurt me when he got hurt against Boston because he was playing so well. So even though he's out, we still have energy about us right now, and we just pray he's able to come back in some capacity for the playoffs. And it's like, then you have to get your rhythm back again. He was just now getting back in the flow. But back to AD was able to read double teams, kicking at the guys. It's not been so much AD and LeBron pick and roll anymore because the floor, which the spacing can get better because I'm hearing Spencer is a pretty good corner three guy. But when you was running that with those guys, everybody was just camping in the paint. Nobody was moving. It was kind of cluttering up. But now as you're running like D-O AD pick and rolls with actions behind it, with like LeBron coming behind it, you know, on the weak side, are you running AR and LeBron pick and rolls, which seems to be better for AR, this dropping it off and him, you know, the dunker spot AD right there, Rui's, you know, coming in strong. It's been a beautiful thing. So what we're seeing right now, I think it's sustainable as far as the play and the movement. Now, the three-point percentages, I'm still waiting for D'Lo to kind of come down a little bit. I hope it's not, you know, anytime soon. But realistically, nobody's going to shoot that great for, you know, the whole season. Which maybe, you know, since the season is kind of at that midway point, maybe he will hit a stride and we'll just have a guy who should have been an all-star if he continues to shoot like this, because he has been on one for sure. D smoke out. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy's doing it, man. Jackson Hayes, another guy I want to give some love to. His energy, his ability to now stop fouling. The illegal screens were just driving me crazy. So as of late, he's been able to score in double digits, give us a lot of energy, chase down blocks. He's very much like Vando in a way where he's going to have boneheaded plays. It's going to look weird sometimes. The flickedness of the offense is still there. But he's been a great guy for us, and you really, really, really need him to continue to do that since we did not get another big. And he has a player option, so you can't just cut him, and you're not off the hook with him. You'll still have his money on the books. That player option money will still be sitting on your books next year. So he has a player option. C. Wood has a player option. Cam Reddish has a player option. So unless you just really feel good about another big buyout market guy, let's say some random person gets bought out and you're like, oh, let's go get him. That's the only way you're going to do that. So, you know, right now you're not cutting those guys because now you have a full roster, 15 with Spencer coming in. And you know, I think we're just going to roll with this team. Now, the question is, I hear, and what do you think about the team now? Well, it's like, okay, now we got to see a new team again, another team. And then when Gabe comes back and event, if they come back, then you got another new team to see. So it's going to be kind of like, we're just going to have to go week by week with this team, man. Like, because we never know when guys come back how Ham's going to handle the rotation. But to answer the question, are we a championship contender at this moment? No, we're not. We're not a championship contender at this moment. Just because we have too many question marks. You know, we're Jekyll and we're high, we're up and we're down, inconsistent. The record shows you what type of season we've had. I don't think the record says how good we are, but at the same time, the record shows how good you are. You know, like you're in a ninth spot. We have an ability to climb out of that and get ourselves out of the play-in, but it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, because when you look at it and you see where we're at sitting in ninth, oh, who's behind us? Those pesky Golden State Warriors are just, you know, a half game behind us. They're sitting at 26 and 25, but, you know, they're going to work themselves out. Draymond's kind of, they've won five in a row. But let's let them hit the wall and come back down. Or they might jump us. Like, we'll see what happens. We have to win our game. So that's why this Pistons game and the Utah game is so critical. The Mavericks, who are also, they won five in a row, but they're sitting in front of us, and they're three games above us, as well as the Kings. They're both sitting there at three games above us, and the Suns are sitting in the sixth spot, and they're three and a half games above us. So right now, you know, it's right there. It's all right there, and we just have to continue to play well. We have to win the games that we're supposed to win. We have to win. It's, you know, very big at home. We have to have a great record at home. We have to win the games against the bad teams. And on the road, we have to find a way to at least stay respectable, like 500. Like, you can't, You're not going to win all the games on the road. That's tough, but we have to handle business the other way. So give me that. Be dominant at home. Shaq says that all the time, and I agree with him. You have to win the games that you're supposed to win against the bad teams. Detroit playing better, but they're bad. You have to win that. Utah, they're playing better, but they're beneath you. You have to keep them down. And you have to win those games. So let's see if we can win both those games going into it and see if we can climb in the standing. So that's where we are right now. And Spence, I think, is a great sign and a great pickup for us, you know. And I'm not getting into the future talks about LeBron going where Bronny's going. It's not my concern right now. I'm not worried about the Trae Young speculation. I'm not worried about Donovan Mitchell. None of that stuff helps us right now. And I know fans like the stories and all that stuff. And I'm with you because it's fun. But I'm not worried about that right now. Like, that stuff distracts you from watching the games. Like, when you don't watch the games and you just sit there and talk about Trae Young's and Donovan Mitchell's and all these trades all the time, because I'm going to talk about them too, but not all the time. And then when you look and see the Lakers have lost three in a row, and then you just go to the box score and say, man, AD only had 15 points, but you didn't watch the game, you know? Like, watch the game. See why he had 15. See what transpired, you know? It's just amazing to me. I'm just convinced people don't like NBA basketball the way they say they do. They like the narratives of it. They like to, you know, they like to complain about it. But when it comes money time, the playoffs come around, then I understand. That's when everybody comes and watches for all the marbles. But nobody respects the 82. Everybody just loves the 16. But here on Lakers 82-16, we encourage you to follow the grind with whatever team that you follow. But if you listen to this, you follow the Lakers, or you just enjoy hearing Laker talk and you just like, you know, disagreeing with me or whatever, you know. So it's all good, man. We have a back-to-back coming up. I want to win against the Pistons, who've been playing well. I want to win against Utah, who caught us one time. But it's all good. I feel like if we continue to get healthy, I keep saying that over and over every couple of weeks, let's see what happens. But I think the Spencer signing, if he plays well in these two games with D'Lo, I think the Laker fans are going to get excited about that. I think it is. And I feel like the Laker haters are going to try to, you know, like, oh, you still can't beat Denver, which we can't. So I'm feeling good right now. I'm enjoying what we're doing. You know, we're not perfect, but we're worth it. You know, I think that's the song. So, you know. Yeah, you know, it's time to wrap up when I'm saying stuff like that. Laugh, people. This is Lakers 82-16. Chill Bravado Podcast. Talk to you guys next time.